about
this call
project
is being recorded.
And this topic, we think it has the potential to really transform and improve the difficulty APS traditionally has had with trying to get client records from financial institutions. So as Andy said, Joe Snyder, whom many of you know, who's been a leader in dealing with financial exploitation for over a decade now, will be my co-presenter. Andy, you want to bring the next slide up, please? For a couple of housekeeping, we have said this already many, many times, but we do need you all to hit the mute button on your phones. Otherwise, we get typing and people talking and music and all kinds of noise in the background. So we appreciate that. If we do get feedback from somebody who has not muted their line, Andy will mute them. He can do that from our, you know, conference line home site. We will give you plenty of time to make comments or ask questions as we go through the webinar. We do have handouts. You should be able to see them on the control panel on your screen. We have 5 handouts for the webinar, and we will be putting all of them up on the screen. You don't need to worry about that. You'll see them without doing anything, but you can download that handout, those handouts, and we will also have them available on the website after the webinar. And you just heard a voice say the session's being recorded, and that's because for anybody who cannot be on the call today, we want to make the audio version available so they can look at the forms and the letters, et cetera, and listen to the audio presentation. Next slide, please. So today's agenda, Joe is going to provide a brief background of this project and how it came about and who our funders are and who helped us with it. Then we'll, as you know, most of you know, we sent the original form out about 6 months ago, and we've since gotten some additional information, which we'll talk about, and some feedback, some of it from you all. So we'll talk about the changes we've made, and we'll go through those changes. You'll be able to see it on your, you know, the forms, et cetera, on your screen. And we'd love to hear your feedback. We'd love to hear any suggestions for improvement. We'd love to hear, you know, what your success stories have been and what problems you've run into. And we don't think this webinar is going to be, you know, extremely long. So next slide, please. So just one thing I was going to tell you, when we switch back and forth between the slides and the forms, there will be just a second or two delay. So don't be surprised when you see that. So Joe, do you want to talk about the project itself, please?
Sure. Thanks, Kathleen. And thanks, everybody, for taking time out to join us today. As Kathleen referenced earlier, whenever we survey NAPSA, the nation, about issues with APS, one of the ones that's always near the top is working with financial institutions. And some of you have had some really good success, and some of you have struggled. Believe it or not, the financial institutions have some issues with us also. And as we talk to them through the years, we hear things like, all of you guys are different. There's no standardization. Some of you will talk to us, some of you won't. Some of you expect us to be able to tell you that the person's a vulnerable adult before you'll take our call. And as we dialogue with them, the one thing that kept coming up over and over again is they would love us to be standardized across the country. Now, in a lot of areas, we can't be because we have 50 states, 50 laws, et cetera. But so when the You Get Clark Family Fund for Protection of Elders approached me, Kathleen and I, about a project, the first thing we thought of was, what about a standard form for requesting records?
Is that angry?
And what about putting together a steering committee to help us design this project? So next slide, Andy. So the steering committee, and some of you are on the call, consists, it's a multidisciplinary. We have you know, Robert Anderson, and Florida's been in the middle of a lot of these issues. Robert's the incoming NAPSA president, by the way. And Dana Goldberg, who sits on my financial exploitation prevention task force, is an attorney with Senior Law, legal service provider in Philadelphia, who has a program called Stop Abuse and Financial Exploitation. Judith Kozlowski was Secretary Greenlee's right hand for elder justice issues, and in addition, Judith was a former high-ranking official with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, so she brought valuable information. Alan Lawitz from New York State, New York's done wonderful things on many areas, but financial exploitation being one of them. Ron Long from Wells Fargo, kind of the godfather from the financial side of things, from the brokerage side, has done great work with us. Chuck Silverman is Beneficial Bank. It's another Philadelphia bank, and Chuck is the vice president of Beneficial and was stood up with me with former Mayor Nutter when we addressed the financial community about this issue. Jennifer Sperry, who's my assistant director, and those of you who have assistant director know she does actually all the work. And Nancy Warren from North Carolina. North Carolina's been in the middle of all this and has done a lot to disperse this form and has a lot of good feedback. So this dream team came together last year, and we spent a day hammering out our form. And one of the things we did, and you can go to the next slide, Andy. One of the things we did is put it together, and the advice from the financial industry was, put together a form, send it to we were talking mostly about the major banks, send it to the banks, don't ask them to analyze them, don't ask them for their opinion, just say, this is the form, we're entitled to these records under the Graham-Leach-Bliley exceptions, give us our records. And so that was step one. And you'll hear about some of the feedback we got where we changed that up a little, but that was the philosophy underneath. Now, again, as we go through these forms, I just want to say, I know you know this, but I'll say it anyway, this is not a panacea to fix all the problems that we have individually with financial institutions. Nothing's going to replace forging relationships and having task force and other things.
Oh, okay. How lovely.
Yeah, looks like someone has put us on a hold. I'm trying to locate that person. One second.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I guess.
Okay. Thanks. So again, as we go through the form, nothing replaces forging relationships and having task force and dialogue. And we're continuing NAPSA and here in Philly, the dialogue with all the financial institutions and a lot of we're not going to spend a lot of time covering that today, but a lot of positive developments in the last 6 months for all of us. Okay.
Yep. That's true.
Yeah. And if we have time, we can talk about some of that. So next, I guess, Kathleen, I think you're picking up, right?
Yes. So here's what happened. Many of you have used the slide and have run into some problems, as we mentioned. And Betty Malks and I from the NAPSA board met with the American Bankers Association in November, and they had a whole bunch of their staff there, their regulatory people and their compliance people, I don't know. And they have gotten a lot of calls from local banks about what is this form and is it okay to, you know, use it, et cetera. And they strongly suggested that in the case of local banks where, you know, your workers are physically going into the bank requesting records, you know the people, you have a relationship with them or you're establishing a relationship with them, that we should have available and send an introductory letter to the bank official. And we'll go through the letter in a second. just introducing the form and saying, you know, here it is. Here's why we're eligible for the records. We want you to be familiar with this. We, you know, hope you will comply with requests. Then the other thing they said was that we really need on the back of the form, not just the federal language, statutory language, which we have from the Graham-Leach-Bliley Act, but that we also need every state to have its own statutory language. And the reason for this is that when we were meeting with them, the woman from regulatory, I think, who really had the most to say, was the most critical or concerned. She said, you're not law enforcement. We can't give records to people that are not law enforcement. I said, no, we are not law enforcement, but we are authorized under state law in every state to conduct civil investigations of elder financial exploitation. Well, basically, she said, well, I didn't know that. I mean, I'm paraphrasing. And, you know, none of the banks know that either. So we need to provide the statutory basis under which we operate in every state, and that will help the banks a lot. It will certainly help banks that are state chartered, not federally chartered. So we you'll see as we get when we get to the form that we're asking you to add, and we'll give you two examples of state statutory language on the back. Now, having said that, if your language is not helpful, you're going to have to use your own judgment about whether to put it on there. So we'll talk more about that when we go through the form. And then finally, and we had done this on our own, is we've drafted up a letter for you to use to send to banks when they've refused to honor a request for records, to send it to them to say, well, you know, actually you're wrong and here's why, and please send us the records. So Andy, if you could go ahead and bring up the Florida form for us.
Sure. Give me 1 second to do that.
Sure.
Okay, it should be up on the screen now.
It is. I see it. And by the way, when the forms are on the website, they will be, you will be able to actually fill them in. They'll have those little gray boxes that you can fill in. But when you convert to PDF to put them up on the screen, those all disappear. So here, nothing changed on the first page. Everything's the same. We may have added, I'm trying to think, Joe, did we add maybe one or two additional things from feedback during the year? I forget. But anyway, basically the first.
No, I think we just.
Okay.
Tidy it up a little, maybe. Nothing on the first page that I remember.
Okay, so the first page is
Mexico piping in. Apologize for the interruption. But okay. I'm not able to pull up the forms. I think it's maybe the weather we're having. Will I be able to access them later on?
Yes, they will be on our website. Yes, totally. So are you logged in to the website and you can't see them on the screen?
We're having weather out here, and I don't know if it's a storm coming in that's interrupting. Yeah. The internet is in and out, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that may be it. I'm sorry.
We'll have a website at the end of the webinar where you can pull all these up. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so very much.
Sure. Good luck with that weather.
Thanks.
So page one is essentially the same. You say, here's what I want, here's the time frame I want it in, here's who I am, and et cetera. So here's how you can contact me, and I'm authorized for these records. So, and thank you to Robert Anderson for providing this form, which Florida developed. So if you can go to page two, Andy. And you see that's the Florida agency's logo up there. So the first part of page two, the back of the form, is exactly the same. It's the exceptions under the Graham-Leach-Bliley Act, no change. And then if you go down, you will see the excerpt from the Florida statute with the citation, which says that in Florida, the protective investigator must have access to all medical, social, or financial records. So they have clear-cut authority to obtain those records. It's actually very wonderful. So that's their statute. So, Andy, if you want to bring up the Oklahoma one.
Sure.
Ah, there they are.
Oh, good.
It came up. Great. Thank you.
Good.
So you should see the Oklahoma one now.
So
you
again,
go to the second
page is exactly the same, right? So the second page, Graham Leach Bliley, no change. And then below, and I picked Oklahoma at random. I could have picked any of, you know, any other states. And I also put in, I just figured Oklahoma had kind of a typical longstanding APS law. I added the paragraph you see underlined. APS is properly authorized under the state statute cited below to carry out civil investigations of elder, vulnerable adult abuse, neglect, and financial exploitation. Now, obviously, if you're elder only, you would change that to just say elder. If you use the word dependent or at risk, you would change vulnerable to those terms. And then below is the excerpt from the Oklahoma statutes with the citation that says, you know, upon receiving a report of alleged abuse, neglect, or exploitation of a vulnerable adult pursuant to the Protective Services for Vulnerable Adults Act, the Department of Human Services shall make a prompt and thorough investigation. So that clearly, you know, makes it clear that APS not only has the authority, but has the responsibility to investigate alleged abuse, neglect, or exploitation. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, good. I mean, it's a simple change. You all know what your own statutes are. It's easy enough to find the right paragraph and just put it in there.
Right, very good.
Okay.
All right,
good,
Kathleen. Kathleen, I think
yeah.
It's worth saying again that, you know, that this is an optional thing. And if your law isn't going to work in your favor, I don't put it on mine. I've never been asked to put it on mine from the state. So until somebody says, I need your state law and the state law is going to support me, then it's not going on. So it's an optional thing. If you have something like Florida, I'd put it on every time.
Right. Yes. And I think the big thing we're trying to get across, and this will be in the letters, and Andy, I think you can go ahead and bring up the first introductory letter.
Sure.
We're trying to make it clear to these bankers that APS has the authority to conduct civil investigations, and that's what's listed in the Graham-Leach-Bliley Act, that, you know, banks can provide records without client consent to comply with an authorized civil investigation. So that's the point we're trying to make. So I think if you keep that in mind, you know, that may influence what parts of your statute you put in, et cetera. So here's the letter that the Woman from the American Bankers Association recommended, and this is a draft. This is for you to use, to make your own, to change as you need to change. It's just a starting place for you. We advise that you use this, as I said earlier, for your local banks, the banks where you physically go in. But if you are sending a request for forms to a national bank's central processing unit, and it's called like subpoenas and something. And all, the, what is it, subpoenas and what?
Garnishment and subpoenas unit. Yeah, GSU.
GSU. Thank you, Joe. The big banks, we're talking Wells Fargo, Bank of America, the ones that operate nationally, have these GSUs, garnishment and subpoena units, that are central to the country, and they get probably thousands of requests for records a day. And if you're sending the form to one of those GSUs, you don't bother with the letter. Just send the form and say, we need these records, please provide them. Because that's what they're getting from the other people. So we think it'll go through, you know, more easily and quickly without complicating it. So the introductory letter is, I'd like to introduce myself and my agency. APS is a state, county, whatever kind of agencies authorized under, again, your state statute, to carry out investigations of reported elder and vulnerable, dependent at risk, abuse, neglect, and financial exploitation. Oh, I left a word out there. That should say elder and vulnerable adults. And we'll add that before we put it on the website. When investigating financial exploitation, it's often necessary for the investigator to review the bank, the client's bank records in a timely manner. Whenever possible, APS obtains client consent. Even without client consent, however, APS is authorized under the Federal Graham-Leach-Bliley Act to obtain a bank record of bank customers' records, because APS falls under the law's exceptions in that the purpose of viewing the records is to prevent actual or potential fraud, and APS is authorized under state law to carry out civil investigations. Please see the attached standard form. On the reverse is the statutory language that we've been talking about. Upon receipt of this form from an APS investigator, we hope that your staff will promptly provide the requested records so that a full investigation can be conducted within the program's deadlines. This will help to stop the financial losses to the client and bank, and will help APS take other measures to protect the client and their overall well-being. We look forward to working with you and your staff to protect the assets and well-being of your customers who have been referred to APS for alleged financial abuse. If you have any questions or would like to discuss this further, please contact me. Blah, 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 blah. And again, feel free to absolutely make this your own. You put it on your own letterhead. You have whoever you think the most influential person would be to sign it. And then, you know, take it. If you work regularly with, well, you know, some of you have such big service areas, but I mean, if there are a few banks you work regularly with, you might want to take it in person, or have your workers take it in person, maybe when they're in the area anyway. Maybe they, you know, take extra time and drop by the banks, ask to have it hand delivered to the manager. So that's the one letter. And then the other letter is the one. Now, this did not come from advice from the American Bankers Association. We came up with this on our own. So, dear bank officer, in response to recent correspondence or phone call, whatever it was, regarding, oh, it's funny how you read these and read these, and then when you see it again, you realize you need more information in there. It should say, regarding client so-and-so, please note that a careful reading of the Graham-Leach-Bliley Act makes plain that financial institutions are indeed permitted to release client records without client permission and without a subpoena under the following conditions. Again, repeating the federal statutory language. And then again, establishing that APS is authorized to view these records or obtain these records in the course of investigating financial abuse of an older or vulnerable adult, because APS falls under the law's exceptions. And we've already gone over all this. We're preventing fraud, unauthorized transactions, we carry out civil investigations, and that the requirement for a subpoena is an alternative and not a requirement when complying with a properly authorized civil investigation, because the federal statute says to comply with the civil investigation or subpoena or summons.
Right.
So if they tell you that a subpoena is required, that's not literally accurate. In light of the clear language in GLBA and APS's statutory authority to conduct, I feel like I've said properly authorized civil investigation about 100 times. To conduct one of those, please comply with the attached request for records. Please comply with the attached request for records in the time frame specified. Thank you. Working together, we can better protect the assets and well-being of our mutual client. So we do, you know, we need to add a space to identify which client you're talking to. But other than that, these are provided, you know, to help you. And if they don't help you, you know, you don't have to use them. If they do, you know, we hope they will help you in these circumstances. Because who's ever coughing, maybe mute their phone. Thanks. Any questions, comments on either of these letters? Okay.
Kathleen, I have a question. This is Mario Warzus in Montgomery County, Maryland.
Yeah. Hi, Mario.
Hi. Has someone tried these letters already, especially when banks have refused? We've had good luck. We've had at least one bank, I won't name it, but it's a national bank that's not always cooperative.
I mean, because there are two different things I have to put on this.
I'm just laughing because of all the background, no matter how many times we ask for muting. Yes. Well, has anybody tried the letters? No, we have not sent the letters out yet. So I don't know. I mean, people may have tried their own letters, and I'd be happy to hear anybody speak up about that. But we have not made this available yet.
Great. Thanks.
Hi, Kathleen. This is Kat from Iowa.
Yeah, we
have a similar letter that we use with the federal GBLA Act on it. And we've only just started doing that when a banker called me, actually. And he and I had a conversation about it. We've been using that probably, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 months. But every time I give it to a worker, I never hear back from them again that they've had any trouble.
That's good.
And usually they'll come back and say to me, Kat, this didn't work. From our perspective, it's more helpful than what we had, which was nothing, and people were refusing. So.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. So this is an improvement on that, so I'm excited to add this, you know, to it.
Okay, good. I was just going to ask if you could improve this one based on yours.
No, this one is ours.
Okay, good. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Any other?
Yes, could I ask a question?
Sure.
Okay, we're in Tulare County, California, and we just wondering, is there anyone out there that is in the California area that has used this letter or attempted this letter? I'm hearing a lot of
any
keys.
A lot of what?
I'm hearing other states, but is anybody in California out there that's doing the webinar? Have they tried to use this letter at a bank?
Anybody from California want to answer?
This is Andy Kabar with NAPSA. I'm looking at the list of folks who are on the call, and I don't know if we have anybody else from California on the call, actually. Might be the only one.
We're just checking because definitely we do come across this barrier often.
Yeah.
And unless it's a local branch that we're well familiar with, we very rarely are able to get those documents or as law enforcement unless they get a subpoena. So we were just curious because if we change the statute to California regulation form that we were looking at, I'm still not sure. So I was curious if there was any other counties involved in this webinar.
Lori,
you know, you may want to...
Go ahead, Andy.
This is Andy. I was thinking the exact same thing that Kathleen was just going to say. This is Andy Capehart with NAPSA. I would suggest contacting Lori Della Grammaticus. You know, your new state liaison, and then asking her that question and see what she thinks. Because I would imagine Lori knows about it if there has been success or failure.
Okay, just curious. We're looking over this. It looks like a really well put together format. We're just curious if it's been used.
Thank you.
Sure.
So speaking about getting feedback, Andy, could we put up, and Joe, do you want to talk about the survey that we're planning to do?
Sure. Thanks, Kathleen.
Yeah, thank you.
So one of the things we're attempting to do is get as much feedback as we can, the successes and the challenges, for a couple of reasons. One, because we continue to meet with the financial world on a regular basis. and we want to get feedback. And secondly, we want to collect feedback as we go to funders and say, you know, this is what we've did so far, and this is what we had, this is what we think we need to do next. So we don't have a, we've gone back and forth on this, on how we should collect this, and we've asked, we put together a quick survey, but we're really looking for ideas here also to improve what we have and what would work for you and what you think you would actually take the time and do. So can you put up the next one, Andy?
The one after that.
There we go. The one with the three questions to it.
Okay. So the brief three-question survey, and it's on the Circuit Monkey. Can we pull that up now?
Oh, gotcha. Okay. This is the slide.
Yeah, that's all right. And so this is me, Kathleen, and Andy sitting together in the morning trying to figure out how we can collect the data we need. And we really want to know success, failures, and this is what we came up with, but we're open to different suggestions. This is, were you successful in obtaining banking information using the form? Please provide details how the form did or did not aid you in obtaining banking information. So if all of a sudden it opens up the world for you, then we want to know that. If all of a sudden they're saying, I don't care what you write, you're not getting anything, we want to know that, and anything in between. But our real question is, if we have this survey out there, does this work for you? Will you think you'll take the time to send us that information? And if not, is there a better way we can collect it? So that's what we're looking for.
Yeah. And we're struggling with, I mean, these couple of questions, and we don't have bank names in there, but actually we'd like to have bank names, which could be under the comments.
Right.
But these two questions sort of imply that you're talking about one incident, but we thought it might be a little too much to ask, you know, very busy investigators to go in every single time they deal with one of these forms and fill out a survey. And I'm asking that question, is that way too much to ask? And if it is, then how do we make it easy and quick to obtain this information, but you know, we can.
At TV Piano. As you may or may not know, I started TV Piano when I was 19 years old.
This is DC.
What kind of forms?
Ms. Quinn?
I saw a lot of files.
Yes. I'm sorry, I was waiting for that background.
This is Dr. Jones in DC.
Hello?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now that the background.
Okay, noise. What I think is helpful on it, for the local banks, I think it'll be a lot easier in terms of just presenting a letter, because basically a lot of the local banks here in the district are small, like Bank of Georgetown, places like that. And the president and CEO is pretty much on site because they don't have that many branches, and it's easy. I think for the district, where we have the largest problems is sort of what has been discussed earlier, is with your national, international banks, because we get virtually no cooperation from banks not to be named. But most of them are very, very difficult, and we've been trying various efforts here through our local Metropolitan Bankers Association and other forums like that to get them to understand the importance and the gravity of this and the significance of why we're making these requests. Because what we're now seeing, and I think as I talk to some of my colleagues across the country, these numbers are escalating. It's not 500, 1,000, 2,000. I mean, we're getting a number that are looking at 500,000, million, 2.5 million. So even the amounts of money are really just escalating and increasing. And you say these in these forms to the bankers who are sitting at the table, but it doesn't impress them. So now what we find through our Department of Insurance, Securities, and Banking, which is another sister government agency, is that what they're doing is they don't send like the regional vice presidents to these meetings. They're sending more of the local folks who can't make these decisions. So these are the kind of things I think are challenges for us here in the district.
Yeah, I think you're in good company across the country, I suspect. Thank you. That was very helpful.
Yeah, and we consistently, this is Joe again, we consistently say to the financial world, you know, it isn't just enough to report, that you have to provide these records in a timely manner. And just reporting and not providing records not only isn't helpful, it can be harmful, because you're glutting up systems with cases that we can't solve while other cases are waiting. And so, you know, if you're going to be in, let's be all in. And that's been our message for a decade or more. And it's starting to get heard in certain segments. But, you know, it takes a while to move these systems. But, again, going back to our official request, you know,
right, and I think the survey is good, but I think to get to what you just said, Joe, would be if we did have a question about the banks that we are historically and continuously having problems with, which I think are going to be our national international banks, then that means maybe we need to develop another strategy for approaching them to get them to acquiesce and to comply. Because you're right, they send us faxes all day long, but we don't get the cooperation. And I think they're more of our culprits. So we could develop a strategy of just addressing them. I think we see this form, we'll see it's our national international banks.
Yeah, we've wrestled with that question since we're trying very hard to be collaborative about, you know, pretty much calling people out. And who could do that? Is NAPS in the position of saying, you know, Wells Fargo from the banking side, you just aren't getting it done, and we need X, Y, and Z. We haven't done that because it's a tough call to make. So we do wrestle with that all the time, and I think we're working on it.
Is it a possibility to speak? I mean, it may take some finessing to get to the top, but it seems like to me, and I know we wrestle with the same issues that you're talking about here, but I do find that when we talk to directly like the president and CEOs of these banks,
right,
they are very willing, and then I hate to say it's a top-down approach, which
it
I'm
is.
Not necessarily in favor of, but it gets the job done. And for right now, we're talking about vulnerability and people's savings, et cetera. I was just wondering, is there a delicate strategy maybe we could put our heads together to just go directly to these CEOs?
Yeah, it's a great suggestion. It's a great suggestion. And, you know, we just had an age-friendly banking seminar or day-long in D.C., and it was clear from the banker side and everybody else, when your CEO buys in, everything flows down nicely. So
exactly.
I think that's exactly right, and it's part of the overall strategy. I think that you're right that we have to start addressing and figure out a way to reach those folks. But it's kind of dawning in a way because, you know, a lot of banks have, you know, the banking side and the brokerage side, and we have the brokerage side cooperating fully. And
right.
Within the same company, they can't get the other side to come along. So that's hard. But I think that's a good goal for us in the coming year, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think that's an excellent target for us.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Jones. You're most welcome. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
So anybody else with suggestions for us of collecting information that we all can use?
Mario, Maryland.
Yeah.
Hi, Mario. I'm going to suggest that our APS investigation unit, maybe my continuing unit as well, compile it for a month, some information with regard to usage, and then
awesome.
We'll just send it to you.
Awesome.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. We wondered about doing it on a monthly basis, if that
yeah,
would make sense.
Yeah.
And we'll need to add, we'll change it up a little bit to add, because we do have to collect the names of the banks.
Right.
Yeah. But this will definitely help us. So when we did the bank survey a couple of years ago, it has gotten a lot of attention from the banking industry. A lot, and from the, you know, Senate Committee on Aging, and from the regulatory agencies. And so the more specific information we can we can gather, the better it'll be.
And
maybe we just need to do this for 6 months or something. You know what I mean? To establish a baseline. And then,
That would be great.
Yeah.
This is Denise Buskin-Gandrell from Montgomery County. I think you'll see it's obvious. If we do that for a number of months, the patterns will be obvious. Who cooperates and who doesn't.
Yeah. And in our first bank survey, I redacted the bank names in all the comments before I, you know, sent it out publicly, but it was very obvious who the problem was.
Yeah, it is obvious. You're right.
Yeah.
But this is Dr. Jones here from D.C., but I think if we could get one of the national, international banks on board, they are competitive among themselves, as we know. I think that would be an easy way of encouraging the other banks to join forces. If we can just get one.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. Well, I think you're right.
We hope that's true, because Barclays over in the UK is doing some great things. And they were kind of the featured speaker in D.C. showing all the different things they're doing for their elderly and vulnerable adult consumers. And hopefully be adopted by people here. But, I think you're right. But forgiveness, we need this information, because we have a lot of us willing to do the fight, but we need the tools, we need the weapons to fight. So the more information we get, the NAPSA and the National Institute on Elder Financial Exploitation are making great inroads into this areas and are constantly at the table with these organizations now. So we need this information.
Joe, this is Linda from Hawaii.
Hey,
is anybody else having a similar problem as us? What we're finding is individual banks are willing to share, but the person within our state government structure who actually licenses and certifies the financial institutions, she is saying she doesn't care about APS. They're going on the strict interpretation of the federal law, and she has prohibited the banks from going against her. And so when we talk one-on-one on bank managers and such, they say, I understand, however, if we go against this person, we're going to lose our license or whatever that is. And so everybody's kind of afraid of this office.
of course.
How do we get around that? I mean, we do plan to look at the information you brought today. Perhaps we, in my office, will have to start more conversation with that office, that person. From our past communication with her, she doesn't want to give us the time of day. So I don't know. Maybe has anybody else run into something like that?
Hi, this is Alan Lawitz, and I apologize. I just unmuted myself, and I apologize if that creates an echo, I think. But what we have done in the last year in New York, we've got a good, strong working relationship with the New York State Division of Financial Services, which is the state regulator of the financial institutions. And we have worked with them, APS has worked with them, and they've issued guidance. They've issued guidance to those who they regulate, very similar to the federal regulators, the GLB guidance. And Linda, I'd be happy to share with you what they did. And maybe peer-to-peer, the Hawaiian, bank regulator could speak to the New York bank regulator. In fact, they are going out with us, and we're doing a multidisciplinary series of trainings of financial professionals across the state. And they are really doing, working with us quite well, and encouraging not only reporting but cooperating in terms of providing information to APS and law enforcement, and also to DFS. So maybe peer to peer, and maybe they can gain some confidence by speaking to some of their peers in other states who regulate financial institutions. Anyway, I'd offer that, and we could discuss that offline or whatever. But that's one thing. And I'm Joe, I'm thinking that this is a good opportunity. What I will do, and I meet with the APS every we have a teleconference every March, legal issues, and I'm going to share with them the revised forms, encourage them to develop a New York version of this, and encourage them to test it, and report back to me and do the survey, and then I can report back to NAPSA.
Fabulous.
Terrific.
Thank you very much.
That's great. Great idea. Linda, go ahead.
No, I was just wondering if my email can be shared with the person in New York or anyone else on the call, actually, who can help with that.
Yeah, this is Andy. Yeah, I can make sure that you guys are put in touch with each other.
Okay, thank you.
I was just going to suggest I'll look up the regulator in Minnesota who is over banks and brokerage firms, and he has done a similar thing, I think,
as
Alan. I haven't looked at the specific guidance he sent.
This is Jennifer from Minnesota.
Yeah, hi, Jennifer. I know you're on.
Yeah, we partner with the Department of Commerce, if that's who you're talking about.
Probably. He's the Mike something? Is the incoming president of NASA?
Yep.
Mike Robbins. Yeah. Carmen from Minnesota.
Yep. It's
Mike Carmen
from Commerce.
Hi.
And he's real enthusiastic about getting involved.
And we've had numerous meetings. We're actually having a video conference this year with them at the center in the bank issue.
So maybe you could send that information to Linda to contact him, because I think he'd be another – I mean, he's really – I met with him one time, and he's very passionate and committed to all this. So.
Linda has my email. We can connect.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else facing what Linda's facing? That seems like an unusual situation. I think the peer help will help, and if that doesn't work, the person must have a boss.
Yeah.
Because that sounds a little.
Yeah.
Rigid. All right. Anybody else with? So it sounds like people are, at least some people are willing to gather this information and send it to us. We're still looking for other information, other suggestions. We really, again, need this information to continue the fight. I think things are coming together. A lot of forces. We have a lot of supporters, and we're getting more each day, especially as the knowledge of the aging brain, cognitive capacity, financial capacity reaches from the Institute on Medicine, the banking industry. Everybody's talking about that. The numbers of us getting older is staggering. It's gonna work, just a matter of when. So hopefully we have enough ammunition to make it happen really, really soon.
Yeah, and I would just add to that an optimistic note. That was really a good closing statement, Joe, that we now have two really major allies at the federal, at the national level, and who both are telling Congress that APS needs to be funded. APS in general, not just, having to do with financial exploitation, but APS. And one is the securities, I always get the investor
advocate at the SEC.
Well, there's the investor advocate at the SEC, yes. Right. Very important. And then the other one is SIFMA, which is Securities Industry Marketing Finance, Securities Industry Financial Marketing Association. That is the lobbying firm for all the brokerage firms in the country. So they have some influence, and they have made it one of their priorities that APS get funding from the federal government. So, this is big. We're very happy. I mean, it's a long, it's not going to happen today or tomorrow, but that's great that we have these really powerful people telling Congress this needs to happen. So just thought I'd throw that in for a little optimism.
Yeah, the article in the Wall Street Journal, quoting the investor advocate, the SEC, whose job is to make recommendations to Congress. And NAPSA, we made that happen with a meeting with him. And Rick was right on board and became an issue, of course, like many people that they've never heard of till they heard and start looking into it, and is really supporting the organizations who are making positive strides, and said he's going to be looking at that this year, and then threw in for good measure that all this won't matter if APS doesn't have the resources and Congress needs to look at the funding. So that was big for us. That was just last week, right? That article, or this week?
Yes. Yep, very recently.
Yeah, and we're really
excited
about
it. Any final comments, questions? You know, you can always email us, of course, with anything you think of later. We'll make those few little changes that we talked about, and we'll get all this stuff out to you. And we really, really thank you for being on the call, for caring about this, for trying to make this happen, and you know, any way we can help, that's what we're here for.
And I want to make sure that everyone's aware of the, this is Andy Capehart with NAPSA, of the URL where you'll be able to find these forms, probably tomorrow after we make a few tweaks to them. And it's napsa-now.org/banks is where you'll be able to download all of this.
Okay.
Thanks, hope everybody. To see you all next year in Philly.
Yeah, thanks, Joe.
This year, that's rated 16.
That's right. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.